Talk with Maria Bailey. Join Maria as she takes on topics important to you. From the cradle to college, Maria and her expert guests offer information, tips, and tools to make the busy lives of families easier. Now, here's your host, Maria Bailey.
We are here and school, I think, now it's official. I think that as of this week, school will have started in every single area of the United States. I know that those moms, you guys who are listening up in New York, in the Northeast, you have been watching on Facebook all of the first day of school pictures, and now it's your turn this week. Aren't you excited? The kids are finally going back to school. And for the rest of us whose kids have been in school for, what, going on a month now, we're already trying to figure out what new and innovative things we can put in their lunchbox. Just the other day, I said to my daughter, I'm like, hey, are you getting tired of the sandwich yet? Because it's been 2 weeks and I'm getting tired of the turkey sandwich. So good luck to you moms out there who are going to be celebrating that first week of school this week. And to the rest of us, endure. Just keep going. You're doing great. Stay calm. And then mom on. There you go. So I'm really excited that you've carved out some time to listen to Mom Talk Radio. And I know we're going to have something that you can use in the next hour of the show, because I've got a lot of moms working behind me that make that happen. Today, we're going to be talking about school uniforms and the lucky people that we are that actually have kids who wear school uniforms. No more trying to decide every day what you're going to wear. And your kid says, I have nothing in the closet, which they learn from us, of course. We're going to talk about school uniforms. And then we're going to talk a little bit about celebrating birthdays and probably wrap it up with a little conversation about how to keep the sizzle, that would be the hot sizzle, in your marriage. So school uniforms, a little bit about our kids, and then we're jumping into the hot stuff. So you're going to want to stay for the whole show, because it's the hot stuff that's going to really be relevant to you, I'm sure. I want to thank our sponsor, Premama. Premama is now available at CVS. And not only, you've heard me talk a lot about Premama and how it's a prenatal vitamin that you can mix into your juice, into your water. You can put in your orange juice, and you don't have to swallow that big horse pill, but you get all the nutrients you and your baby need. Well, now Premama has gone into fertility and lactation formulas, and you can find them all on the baby and feminine care aisle at CVS nationwide. So you're going to want to check it out. When we return, we're going to start a conversation about what your children wear to school. While you're in the stores, go ahead and pick up an extra pack of notebook paper, an extra pack of crayons. You know what's going to happen. They're going to hate the broken crayons. The markers, the lids will have been left off. They're going to be dry. So just go ahead and buy, like, everything you're buying, buy two of, and put it at the top of the closet, because you're going to need it all again.
Mom's Little Secret. Mom Talk Radio.
You know, for those of us who are lucky, we don't ever have to hear our children say, but mom, I have nothing to wear, because our children wear uniforms. And I grew up wearing uniforms. Some of you probably grew up wearing uniforms, but guess what? They are not the uniforms we grew up on. In fact, the other day I was talking with my future daughter-in-law, and I said, I learned to iron because every day I would iron my white blouse. Well, now they got cool polos that don't need ironing. Thank goodness for us moms. We don't have to do that anymore. And we're here to talk with one of the guys, one of the masterminds behind a great brand of school uniform, French Toast, something that I know we all love this brand. And he is Matt Biesing, and he joins us from French Toast, where he is in the thick of things right now at back-to-school season. So welcome, Matt, to Mom Talk Radio.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's my pleasure calling in from the thick of things here in the middle of back to school.
So tell us a little bit about what goes into the designs, the functionality, because school uniforms have changed a lot. I mean, you guys don't have all those little pleats anymore as I had my Catholic uniforms growing up. What goes into a French toast uniform?
Well, you really have to be keyed into the school wear market, and that's really the first step, because as you just recognized, the market is constantly evolving. What is a school uniform? What is school wear? And over the years, I mean, French Toast, we're celebrating our 30th anniversary. We've seen every change in the school uniform market, and what you're seeing really are moms that are demanding more versatile items for their child's wardrobe as they go to school. So something that's functioning beyond just the basics of a school uniform, because we're finding out a lot of these school wear items that moms are buying, they're buying for different occasions in a kid's life. So it's school clothes are not just for school anymore. So when you're going into the design and we're going into new seasons of these items, we really keep that in mind, because we certainly want to be aligned with mom during this time of the year.
Well, I appreciate the fact that they really don't need to be pressed or ironed every single day like we had growing up. So you guys are taking kind of unveiling a new image this year. Tell us about a uniform for a kid's life.
Sure. And we've just completed in this back to school market, we've unveiled a new brand image, a new brand identity that's been building on the years of our school centric nature as a brand. And we are calling it a uniform for a kid's life because of those reasons I just mentioned, with the versatility that moms are demanding. And moms also demanded comfort and durability. That's their number one purchase drivers, as it turns out, when they're looking for school wear. And they want the features like Wrinkle No More, and they want the reinforced knee pant. And really, that could apply to any item that a kid's wearing throughout his or her year. I mean, sure, kids spend most of their time, over 35% of their year, in school, doing school activities, doing their homework. But a uniform for a kid's life really is meeting mom's new value proposition. In fact, in our research, over 30% of parents expect their school wear that they buy for their kids to also be used for casual, active, and special occasion purposes. And that was really the highest return in the history of that survey. So a uniform for a kid's life, just if you want to picture it in your mind, could be a school logo shirt that is also paired with a casual pant at times, or an active top that's paired with a uniform pant. So some mixing and matching, pants being the wardrobe workhorse of our line, and all the colors and all the styles really pair easily across our school uniform line, as well as our active, basic, and casual line. So, you know, as moms demand quality and everything for their kids, we want to be able to provide an end-to-end solution, year-round solution for them. And that's what we're doing with our new branding.
Well, that's that makes a lot of sense, because, yeah, my kids wear their uniform shorts all the time. So you launched a commercial along with that, right?
Correct. And it's been fantastic.
So tell me a little bit about Perfect Attendance, because that's a big initiative as well.
Sure. You know, we travel the country throughout the year and speak with educators constantly. And the issue of student absenteeism in America is a critical issue that often goes unreported. And these educators are always reminding us of how much an issue increased absenteeism is in school, and how dire the consequences are if the issue isn't addressed and confronted head on, especially in the early years of school. So we're committed here at French Toast to doing everything that we can to help solve this issue, and we've actually taken a leading role in tackling the issue in America. So French toast clothes are in class every day. Our clothes hold up to the rigors of a student's life, and we think that a child's life and future is positively affected by showing up to school every day. So we've partnered with a great group of people at an organization called Attendance Works. They're the foremost organization devoted to this issue. And this past year, we piloted our first attendance recognition program at an elementary school in Texas. And we wanted to see if we could help unite students, educators, and parents around the goal of perfect attendance for an entire year. So what we were doing was, could we create a culture of positive culture of attendance in a school where everybody was on board, parents, teachers, and the students. And the results
were phenomenal. And I take it worked, huh?
Phenomenal. I mean, I would encourage everybody to go to our YouTube channel where we have a 3-minute video that documents the story of these children throughout the year. But I will tell you that of the class that we adopted, we had a large number of students, about 50% of that class, that had perfect attendance for the year.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll make it really, really easy for moms, and we'll put a link to it on Mom Talk Radio. We just have one more minute. I just want to ask you, where can moms, if they're seeking out French Toast products, where can they go to find them?
Our largest store is FrenchToast.com, and that'll have all of the different lines that we have. And then on there is also some links, and you'll be able to find your way to some local retailers that are carrying our brand in their stores. But also, when it comes to your department stores and national chains, most of them were carried online, and some of them in store as well. So plenty of places to buy French Toast.
Good stuff. Well, we have a link to the video on Mom Talk Radio. Thanks so much, Matt, for taking time out of the back-to-school grind to let us talk to us about uniforms. When we return, we're going to put the spotlight on one mom who's doing pretty cool things with birthday parties.
Helping you succeed at the most important career you'll ever have. This is Mom Talk Radio.
So birthday parties are often something that costs a lot of money, but they don't have to. We've got a mom who's done pretty amazing things with her blog. It's called freebirthdaypartystuff.com. Her name is Celeste. She's the mother of two, and she's here to spread a little of her knowledge, share a little of her knowledge with you today. Hi, Celeste.
Hi, good morning, good afternoon, radio audience out there.
So tell me a little bit about your blog and the free birthday stuff. Like, what kind of things will moms find there?
Okay, well, the website is called freebirthdaystuff.com, and you have over 50,000 companies nationwide, national, regional, and local. We add new companies every single day, every single week, and they are companies that let you celebrate your birthday from the 1st through the 31st. We're a little bit different that way. What we're able to do is we are able to go and get great deals, free deals, discount deals, that allow consumers, like your radio audience, to go and participate and have a bunch of fun and get free stuff. And as everybody knows, it's a win-win because nobody ever celebrates so long, because that would be sad, wouldn't it? So we make it so that everybody gets to have a little bit of fun. You wouldn't go to Baskin-Robbins and just get one ice cream for one child and not get one for the other child, or have one yourself also. But it's not really meant for kids. It's really meant for the grown-ups out there, because, you know, kids get a lot of stuff anyway. It's a lot more fun when you have the kid, you know, when you get the big kids getting stuff, the big adults.
That's right. That's right. So I'm going to shift now to something that you also have some expertise in, and that is kids and sports and the coach and all of the things that happen, particularly as we go back to school. Our kids now, you know, the parents are dealing with coaches. Our kids are dealing with coaches. Talk a little bit about that for me.
Well, in my prior life, before I drank too many glasses of wine and came up with freebirthdaystuff.com, I used to be one of the foremost sports psychologists here in this country. And I worked with national teams, professional athletes all across the United States. And what happened was I used to translate that also into the children. Okay, my son was an ice hockey goalie and found out that a lot of the parents would go kind of crazy, you know, the right. Whether it was baseball or football, whatever, you know, parents would run out on the field, they'd run onto the ice, they kind of got nuts, and I was like, wow, you know, something needs to be done. So I put together for USA Hockey, actually, they had asked me, you know, would you be kind enough to come up with an idea of or a program where you could do something for an agenda. So I came up with an agenda was, you know, what the kids want, what the parents want, and what the coaches want, and everybody had a different agenda, and we put together something that would be good for everybody. So when you're having a young kid, you know, whatever age, it doesn't really matter. What parents tend to forget is it's that they should go out and they should have fun. The last word you should say to your kid before they get on the field, the ice, the court is, you know, go out, have fun, enjoy. And we tend to forget that. It's not about really winning. Winning is great. But remember, not everybody's going to be a pro baller, a pro professional, a pro golfer, a pro anything. But you tend, if you tend to go to and get to meet some of your pro athletes ever, if you ask them, gee, do you think you were going to be here when you were younger, or do you think you want to make it here? You know, some are going to get cocky, and they're going to say, oh, yeah, I knew I was going to be. But, you know, in reality, I've spent enough time with all these guys and gals, by the way. And the real answer is, no, you know, they had no idea they were going to get it. They knew they, you know, they had a talent, but it takes talent. But it also takes perseverance, it takes tenacity, and it takes a loving, supportive parents who never let go of the idea and the vision of fun. It's all about having fun. As long as you enjoy doing it, you want to go out and do it. It's like going to work every day.
Right,
you know,
right.
Hopefully you like what you're doing.
Right, right, right. Well, you have so much to share, and I want to send everybody to your website. It's freebirthdaystuff.com. But
yep.
If you have
Thank
sports
you.
Questions, I know that Celeste probably would allow you to follow her on Twitter, which is freebirthdaystf. And I'm sure you can shoot her a DM and ask her your sports questions
please.
As well. Thank you, Celeste,
please,
so much
please,
for joining
please.
Us today. And, we appreciate it.
If you
we'll
ever
have
to come back
you...
again, I'll be happy to do a more in-depth detail about sports and kids, and I'll be happy to do that for you. And if your consumers have any questions or your listeners have any questions and they want to directly ask you to ask me, I'll be happy to do that also.
Thank you very much, and we appreciate your help. When we return, we're going to turn our attention to another hot topic with moms. And I'm going to tell you what that is when we come back.
Succeed at the most important career you'll ever have. Welcome to Mom Talk with Maria Bailey.
As moms head back to school with their children, they're faced with a lot of challenges. One of them is bullying and the hatred and just the meanness that goes on, not only with other people, but ourselves. And we are joined by the founder of WeStopHate.org. Her name is Emily Ann Regal, and she's also the author of Flawed, How to Stop Hating on Yourself, Others, and the Things That Make You Who You Are. And we are excited to have her with us. She's appeared on many, many shows like today, Good Morning America, and we're just excited to have her on Mom Talk Radio. So welcome, Emily Ann, to our show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me on today.
So tell me a little bit about, you know, why you embrace the whole theme of bullying and what that means to you.
Sure. Well, I actually was bullied when I was in fourth and fifth grade. When I was in elementary school, I was really badly picked on for my weight. I was overweight at the time, and I'd get so many mean comments, you know, in the classroom and on the playground, that I ended up deciding that it would be good to go to a new school where I could start fresh. And then when I did change schools, I actually became the bully myself, because after having been bullied for a couple years, I really felt bad about myself, and I thought that bullying other people would make me feel better. As I'm sure you can imagine, it definitely didn't do that. And I would, you know, ride the school bus home in middle school just feeling so crappy about what I had done. But gradually, I started to feel good about myself because I surrounded myself with really wonderful, supportive, encouraging friends who really modeled great behaviors. And so, like, they would, you know, they wouldn't gossip, they wouldn't say mean things about other girls. And so I, you know, gradually started to accept myself, and the better I felt about myself, the more I wanted other people to feel good too. And eventually I stopped being the bully. And when I was in high school, I saw a lot of bullying going on. So I decided to start a YouTube channel called We Stop Hate, which was all about stop hating on yourself and stop hating on others. So we raise self-esteem as a way to combat bullying, because the idea is that if you feel good about yourself, you're a lot less likely to put yourself down and to put others down.
Right, right. So what is, in your book, Flawed, what are some of the key messages?
For me, the key message of the book is this idea that we live in a society that is telling us night and day that we're not good enough. And, you know, we'll look in the mirror, we'll only see our flaws, when in fact, not only are we good enough, but we're plenty good enough as we are to be a positive light in the world. You know, we're good enough and ready enough and important enough, just as we are, to be a light in the world and to do good things. And so this idea of the book being called Flawed is because it's based on teen-made We Stop Hate YouTube videos, where teens tell their stories about overcoming bullying experiences, and they share their favorite confidence tips and tricks. And the biggest thing that my co-author and I, Jeannie Demers, saw when we were rewatching all these videos was that flaws were the biggest thing holding young people back from full self-acceptance. And so we challenged ourselves to write a book that really gets to the heart of the issue, which is, you know, figuring out those things that, you know, you're not thrilled about with yourself. You know, how can you embrace that so you can embrace the whole of you?
Mm-hmm. And you know what? Because we have so many mom listeners, I'd also like to say that it's the example that we set for our children, too. If we're walking into the room and we're calling ourselves fat, well, guess what? Our children are going to develop those same behaviors and those same habits. So, you know, sometimes it has to start with a parent, too, in educating our children and giving them the self-confidence, not by saying, hey, you look great, but giving them a behavior that our children can mimic. Would you agree with that?
I couldn't agree more. My biggest advice for parents when I do, you know, radio interviews and things is to model great self-behavior, because young people are like sponges and we soak it up. And so if you're looking in the mirror and you're saying, oh my God, my thighs are so fat, or, you know, I really hate my hair today, young people, you know, take that in. And so one thing that I've come to see is that self-esteem issues are something in life that we don't deal with until we deal with them. So I like to consider this book, Flawed, a self-esteem guide that's really for everyone. It's lessons from teens to the world. Because if you're struggling with, you know, looking in the mirror and feeling flawed, this book can help you embrace that so that you can then model it for your children or grandchildren.
And so is it written for the teen, or is it written in a tone that anyone could read?
It's on an adult book list, so it's written for everybody. We obviously highlight the voices and the stories of young people, but it is definitely a family book. So it's a book that you can read for yourself and pass on, or you can read with your child, with your teen. As you can see, there's over 175 beautiful colored illustrations that we've included, and every page to me can really spark a conversation. I think sometimes with these issues of feeling feeling good about yourself and dealing with bullying, you know, it can really be intimidating. Like, where do you start? And so, you know, for me, I like to flip through it and realize that, you know, all these little gems that we've included can spark a whole conversation. So it's a book that you can read yourself as an adult or give to your teen or do both.
And so are there just negative energy and negative factors that you should steer clear of, or we should advise our teens to stay clear of?
Yeah, I think it's important to remember that hurt people hurt people. And so oftentimes the people in our lives who are bringing us down, you know, may be momentarily inescapable and we have to be around them, but we can try to empathize with the fact that they're going through their own issues. And what might feel personal, like a personal attack on you, is actually a lot more personal to them. And so, you know, remembering that if we have influence and we are influencing others. And so
that's
making
right.
sure that our influence is in check and doing good. And, you know, if it's not, you know, pick up flawed. And we have so many great tips and advice for what you can do to better your life. And, you know, how you see yourself is how you see everything.
Well, it sounds like an amazing book. Congratulations on it. And we have a link to it on Mom Talk Radio. And now is the time to read it, moms, because your kids are going to be faced with this. Even if you have like eighth graders, sixth graders, fourth graders, it starts so much younger than you will even believe. Thank you so much, Emily Ann, for being with us today, and good luck with the book. When we return, we're going to talk with the author of Uniquely Human.
The number one podcast for busy moms, Mom Talk Radio.
So many parents are dealing with and living with children with autism. It seems like we all know someone who has an autistic child of some level of autism. And so when we can bring you really great information, I love it, because it's something that even if you aren't living with an autistic child, maybe you'll hear something here that you can share with someone else. I know that I have two nephews that both are severely autistic, and I'm constantly taking home information to my sister-in-law and brother-in-law. So I'm excited today to have with us Dr. Barry Prezant. He is the co-author of Uniquely Human, A Different Way of Seeing Autism. And he is among the world's leading authority on autism, with more than 40 years of research and consultation. He's just done a lot in this area. So we are delighted to have him with us today on Mom Talk Radio. Thank you, Dr. Prezant, for being with us today.
And thank you for having me.
So there is a lot of books out there about autism. What did you see in the marketplace as far as information that you thought uniquely, no pun intended, that you could give to parents in Uniquely Human?
Yes, and it's not so much the marketplace, it's my career and what I've experienced in my career. Mm-hmm. And that is that, having literally known thousands of children with autism, consulting to schools in so many different capacities, and having known so many families, so often what I read is not my experience, and in many cases the family's experience of having a child with autism. And a big piece of that is how much there's been a focus on the tragedy of autism and the so-called pathology of autism. So I saw a need to write a book that gave a different perspective, and I think a perspective that's more accurate on the basis of what I hear from families and what I see with children.
So what do parents and teachers in particular, what do they need to know outside of like the special needs of the child? And what does the community that supports them need to know?
Well, it goes back to the title of the book, Uniquely Human, that if we see children and people with autism as people first, and we understand that, yes, there are many challenges that go along with autism, but we also have to focus on the strengths and the interests and the motivations of children and people with autism, that could take us a long way. Also, that there's been a lot of misunderstanding about autistic behavior, that too often people look at some of the speech of people with autism, and they call it meaningless speech or meaningless parroting, especially a pattern that's known as echolalia, repeating speech. But a lot of behaviors that define autism in terms of repetitive behaviors, jumping, flapping, rocking, we see them as, in many cases, attempts to cope and attempts to, for example, in a classroom, hang in there in a group activity when the activity might be challenging. So we see a lot of behaviors in autism as an individual's attempt to really participate and process information, as opposed to behavior that just looks different and therefore needs to be dismissed or, right, in some cases, right, extinguished, if you will.
So I want to ask you about your passion for music, because I think that's very unique. But first, I just want to ask a question that I'm always wondering, and that is, are there more cases of autism now, or is it that we are just identifying more cases of autism? Because it just seems like, I don't know, when I was growing up, I didn't know anyone with autism, but today it seems like we all know someone who is touched by autism.
Well, let me just say, this is speculative. Nobody has definitive answers. I believe it's a little bit of both. I believe there truly are more children with an accurate diagnosis of autism, but I also believe that the so-called epidemic has been blown way out of proportion. I see more what I refer to as blatantly misdiagnosed children than I've ever seen before. And we also know that the category has expanded greatly over the last two decades. So I think it's a combination of factors that, yes, there are some more children and people with autism than we've seen before, but I think the numbers are greatly inflated.
Okay, and I'm going to let it rest at that, because there, we can hear opinions all day long on that one, but you bring something unique to the table, and that is your passion for music. So how has that influenced some of the work that you've done?
Well, my father was a professional drummer, and I'm a drummer, and I still play in bands to this day, and my son is as well. And I've always been captured by how children and people with autism can connect with music. And when we use music as a medium, it could be a great opportunity for making that connection, developing trust, especially if we're doing activities that a child or a person enjoys or is very good at. We know that there are some people with autism with exceptional talents. Matt Savage, who I've known for many years, is now a widely regarded jazz pianist internationally, and he has autism. But even for individuals who may not have those talents or those abilities nurtured into great talents, we still know it's a great medium. And there's some evidence that it has to do with how the brain processes information.
Well, I want to tell parents to pick up a copy of your book, because it is different than, it's uniquely different, just as the title speaks to, uniquely human. And do you have a website that we can send people to?
Sure. My website is my name, BarryPresant.com. Also, you could check at my publisher, Simon & Schuster, if you want to read a little bit more about the book and see the many places that the book can be purchased.
Okay, and just so everyone has it, it's Barry, BarryPresant.com. But we have a link to it on Mom Talk Radio, so come over to our website and you'll find the doctor right there on our homepage. Thank you so much for joining us today on Mom Talk Radio. Is a very important thing, particularly when you're a mom, because you never get enough of it. But we're joined today by British-born and trained sleep expert Rebecca Mickey. She is going to be talking about her new book, Sleep in Your Child's Temperament. And I'm delighted to have you with us today, Rebecca. So welcome to Mom Talk Radio.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Okay, so normally when you think of temperaments, I always think of my temperament when I don't get sleep, but you're saying it has something to do with our child's temperament too, right?
Oh, definitely, yes. We're all completely different. We're all completely unique, and our children are exactly the same way. And that will really dictate if they have an easier time or a harder time with their own sleep.
And so talk about some of the tips, like how could we, you know, I think it's pretty intuitive that our child might be cranky if they don't get enough sleep. But how does it go beyond that?
Well, we're all cranky when we don't get enough sleep, but definitely with children. So when we want to be looking at our child's temperament, we're looking at them as a whole. So are they more laid back and easygoing? Are they a little bit more shy or slow to warm up? Or are they a bit more intense or spirited temperament? Those laid-back and easygoing kids are able to deal with being a little bit more overtired. These kids as well have a much easier time learning to fall asleep independently. So when they're younger and they're babies, these are the kids that are able to fall asleep pretty easily, pretty quickly. Then we're going on to those intense, spirited kiddos. They have much more of a harder time learning to fall asleep independently. And you have to have those, all the things have to be right in order for them to fall asleep easily. So we may have to have a nice, dark, cool room. We may have to have a really sort of important, consistent routine that's going to help them then fall asleep. So when you know what your child's temperament is, you can then, it's easy for you then to help them with their sleep so that they're getting the right amount of sleep that they need.
So when they're born, they have that temperament. I just want to make sure I'm understanding what you're saying. They have a certain temperament, and it, based on their temperament, is really the secret to teaching them, I guess, in the right manner to get the sleep they need.
That's exactly right, yes. So even from with a newborn, you can tell then what their temperament is, what their main trait to their temperament is. And then, yes, some people have a super easy time, and those families have their kiddos who are sleeping through the night at 6 weeks old. You can have their best friend who does everything exactly the same. Their babies were born exactly the same day. They do everything the same, but their child is waking 5, 6, 7, 8 times a night and is needing much more help when it comes to sleep.
So let me ask you this. Can it work in reverse that, you know, what if you're a mom and you have, you know, more than one child? So I'm not saying twins, but, you know, you might have a 13-month-old and a newborn. Is it possible to have similar sleep routines and sleep patterns, even if the children have different temperaments?
Yes, it is. If you have one who is that more laid back, easygoing, then that makes it means that you can shuffle their schedule a little bit. So depending on whether that's the youngest or the eldest, they are a little bit more flexible when it comes to their sleep than a child who is more intense. You have to be sort of a little bit more stricter with those routines and with those schedules. So if you have that laid back, easygoing child, the more intense child, regardless of what age they are, then that's the easiest way to do it. Sometimes you do have the two children who are the more intense temperament, and that is certainly more of a challenge. But when you have an older child who has that more intense temperament, if they're used to the way that they are falling asleep and they are used to their routines, then that makes things so much easier. Those routines can make things so much easier for you. And then you'll quickly do the same with your younger child, get them onto those routines. Life will be a little bit more stricter. It'll be a little bit more complicated, but it is definitely doable.
Well, it sounds like it. So tell us how you're, real quickly, if you could, where moms could go to learn more information about you. We have just a minute left in the in our time here.
Okay, great. Well, you can go onto my website at www.rebeccamichi.com, and that is MICHI.com. I work with families who have children under 6 years old all over the country, teaching independent sleep skills, and I'm a gentle, no-cry sleep consultant, so I'm not going to be advising families to leave their kiddos to cry it out.
Well, thank you very much for joining us today, and we do have a link to your book and to your site on Mom Talk Radio, so thank you very, very much. I want to thank everybody for listening today. You've heard Mom Talk Radio, and keep in touch with us during the week in between our shows by going to Twitter @Mom Talk Radio and keep the conversation going. I'm Maria Bailey. We'll see you next week.